We're featuring the music of Stephen Sondheim on this edition of Fresh Air. A new DVD box set collects performances of six of his musicals, including Passion, starring my guest Donna Murphy. In 1994, Passion won four Tony Awards, including Best Score, Best Musical, Best Book, which went to James Lapine, who also directed the show, and Best Actress in a Musical, which went to Murphy. She's now starring in the Broadway revival of Wonderful Town. Ben Brantley's New York Times review said that Murphy is giving one of the most dazzlingly accomplished comic performances that you're ever likely to see in a musical. It's quite a contrast to her performance in Passion as Fosca, a sickly, reclusive, and unattractive woman who lives in a remote military outpost commanded by her cousin. Although she rarely leaves her bed, Fosca becomes passionately obsessed with a young, attractive soldier named Giorgio, who's in love with someone else. In this scene, Fosca manipulates Giorgio into writing a letter that she dictates, in which he declares his love. From the original cast recording, here's Donna Murphy as Fosca and Jerry Shea as Giorgio.
Fosca, it will be light soon. I should be going.
Would you do me a great favor before you leave? Would you write a letter for me?
Certainly.
My dearest Fosca, please.
My dearest Fosca,
I wish I could forget you, erase you from my mind. But ever since I met you, I find I cannot leave the thought of you behind. That doesn't mean I love you.
That doesn't mean I love you.
I wish that I could love you. I know that I've upset you. I know I've been unkind. I wanted you to vanish from sight, but now I see you in a different light. And though I cannot love you, I wish that I could love you, for now I'm seeing love like none.
Donna Murphy is an attractive actress, but she did a very convincing job portraying the very unattractive Fosca. I asked Murphy how the script describes Fosca.
What was written in the script was an astonishingly ugly woman.
Mm-hmm.
That she's very, very ill. She's very frail. The bones in her body and in her face are so prominent that you're struck with how close she is to death. And when I first read the script, I had forgotten until I recently looked at the script once more that they referred to her as astonishingly ugly, because I chose to focus on the illness and the loneliness and a kind of defense and that she has built up about herself and about how she knows people tend to perceive her.
You play her as very homely, but not very ugly.
Yeah, I mean, we made a choice not to go crazy with prosthetics, or, mm-hmm. I mean, there are a few things that they chose to do in terms of, I do have a couple of moles, well-publicized moles.
That's right. are those moles large enough for the last row in the house to see?
Apparently not. Apparently not.
Well, you know, I'm wondering, when you read this script before you auditioned and it said, you know, astonishingly ugly, bones so prominent you could tell she was going to die, did you feel that you had to go into the audition looking astonishingly ugly?
I made a choice to focus, again, on the weakness. I went in, I wore no makeup, I slicked my hair back, I wore clothes that were kind that made me feel like I was lost in them.
What'd you wear?
I wore a long black skirt and just a gray, kind of loose blouse,
mm-hmm.
and that really revealed my neck, which is thin, and I can kind of work it in a way that it looks, well, really thin.
thin and anguished?
Yeah, there you go. And I remember when I auditioned that the casting director up at Lincoln Center, where I was working on another show. I was doing this other workshop at the time of Hello Again. And he came out to bring me in to the audition room, and he didn't recognize me. And I really hadn't done anything drastic. But and actually, another story is that when I showed up to rehearse with Paul Ford, who is works with Paul Gemignani in the music department. He's a fabulous pianist and has worked with Steve Sondheim on a number of shows. And I had rehearsal time with him before I came to my audition. And he said when I came in, he didn't recognize me. And he just immediately had a sense that I was going to play this character. I said, I must have looked really bad, you know?
So what song did you sing in the audition?
I was asked to prepare Fosca's entrance, which was kind of overwhelming, but immediately evocative. You see, I did not see a full script. I never saw the words astonishingly ugly.
Oh.
That what I was given were a few scenes, some later scenes in the piece, and that piece of music. And I was asked to prepare those for my audition. And I only had one audition, and I didn't hear for a couple of weeks. I mean, I thought it was a very good audition, but I had to wait in suspense for a couple of weeks before I got final word.
You know, I'm thinking you've probably done a lot of auditions in your time, but not always auditioning for the actual composer of the song that you were singing. And that must put an extra special pressure on you.
Oh, yeah, particularly when you walk in and Mr. Sondheim informed me that this would be the first time he ever heard this piece sung.
Oh, you know, I was wondering about that.
And I just remember saying, just wanting to, like, crawl through the floor. I mean, now I say that and I think, my God, what an exciting opportunity. But in that moment, like, I didn't feel like I was under pressure enough. the thought that this would be the first time he hear those notes coming back to him, you know, out of someone else's mouth.
Yeah, and I should interject here that, I mean, Sondheim isn't a great singer. So if he sits at the piano and composes it, I mean, he doesn't have the range of someone who's truly a singer. So even singing it himself, he wouldn't hear how it would sound when say, someone like you would interpret it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure he heard
I say this with the greatest respect.
Right.
I love Sondheim's music.
Yes. Well, and interestingly enough, the music comes in, when I got the music, when it was in a much higher key, and yet I remember asking, do they want, you know, a very, very high soprano? And they said, no, that's not the sound they're necessarily looking for. And to feel free to take it down, which I did. But I think he writes in a key that he can sing in.
I think the audience has a very complicated relationship with your character. Mm. In the audience, you feel sorry for your character. You have a lot of respect for Fosca because you suspect she has an inner life with a lot more depth than the other soldiers who are in the play. Yet you get annoyed with how intrusive and unrelenting her obsession, passion is for the man who she loves but won't return that love. I wonder how you feel about her and how you want the audience to feel about her.
Well, I think they should, in fact, feel all the things that you just described. And I think it very much mirrors what Giorgio feels.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. When I first started to work on her, I found it very important not to judge her.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I in no way wanted to over-sympathize with her and soft pedal or water down who she was so that people would respond in a sympathetic way. I wanted it to be an honest portrayal of this woman who was raw and difficult.
I want to play another song that you sing in Passion, and this is called Loving You. And you sing this to Giorgio, the soldier who's stationed in this remote provincial outpost in Italy. And this is your explanation about why loving him not only is an expression of love, but it's giving you purpose in life. It kind of explains the obsession that we've been seeing on stage. What would you like to tell us about the song, either technically or emotionally?
This is a song that came rather late in our preview process. James and Steve realized that Both the audience and the character of Giorgio needed some kind of a revelation in the Fosca character that would enable them, and he being Giorgio, to see her in a different way, and to help a kind of turnaround that happens in Giorgio, where he moves from just kind of being repelled and disliking her to recognizing something different.
Loving you is not a choice. It's who I am. Loving you is not a choice, and not much reason to rejoice. But it gives me purpose, gives me voice to say to the world, this is why I live. You are why I live. Loving you is why I do the things I do. Loving you is not in my control, but loving you, I have a goal for what's left of my life. I will live, and I would die.
Donna Murphy singing Loving You from the original cast recording of Stephen Sondheim's musical Passion. Our interview was recorded in 1994.